Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter 2. And all of those family and friends that are visiting with us tonight, you do have to come back and hear our pastor preach as well. And you will thoroughly enjoy that. But I do want to talk to you tonight about our substitute. As I am a substitute for our under-shepherd, my pastor, I want to tell you about one tonight that was an incredible substitute for all of us. Now, I'm going to give you one word. You probably never heard this word with Christmas before. It's not your normal Christmas word that you think of. But this one word really explains everything that occurred and why it occurred a little over 2,000 years ago. Now, that word, I'm going to say it twice, and then I want you to say it once with me out loud. I don't think you've ever tried this word with Christmas before, but it really is the meaning of Christmas in one word. That word is, are you ready for it? It's pretty good. I'm telling you, you've probably never heard it before. I'll just go ahead and say it, okay? That word is, you know, I thought about a lot of different words, but there was no word I could come up with that I think doctrinally summarizes all of Christmas more. Brother Fursell, are you ready for the word? Here it is. The word is representation. Representation. Could you say that word with me? Representation. Now, that's not a word you probably say, oh, yeah, Christmas time, representation time. But it really sums it all up. Let me begin by reading Luke chapter 2 and verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. You know that glory? That's the Shekinah glory of God. That hadn't been on earth since the time of Ezekiel, that during Ezekiel's time, the glory departed from the temple in Jerusalem. It hasn't been on earth until that night when the shepherds saw it hundreds of years later. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to, would you also say the next two words? All people. I want to stop. I know many of you came tonight and you thought to yourself, wow, with everything going on in this world, just to go to a Christmas Eve service for a moment and just forget about all of the problems and heartaches and troubles of this world. And let's just come and sing some songs and let's just have a nice time together. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to forget what's happened in our country the last few weeks. I don't want you to forget about how bad this world is. Because you know why? Because almost a little over 2,000 years ago, the answer for this world came. And folks, we don't want to separate our answer, our gift from the world. We want our gift to be brought into the world. Because there is peace on earth. Oh yeah, peace on earth. Hey, you understand what's going on? The peace is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. The kingdom, yes, there's a kingdom in heaven. Yes, there's a kingdom to come, the millennial reign. But Luke chapter 17 says there's also a kingdom in our heart. And oh, Christ came the first time to bring peace to the kingdom of our heart, first of all. Oh, he's coming back, not as a lamb, but as a lion. Not as a savior, but as a sovereign. But he came the first time to bring peace on earth, in our hearts. The Bible says in verse number 11, for unto you is born this day, a representative, my friend. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Father, in just these next few moments that we have, may we understand that what occurred that night was prophesied, oh, way before Isaiah, was prophesied to mankind in a garden. And oh, Father, may we understand that we lost so much in the first Adam, but thank you for the second Adam, who is our representative, that we can go to heaven. Father, I pray tonight that we will celebrate Christmas in celebrating our representative who came as a little babe in a feed trough to be the bread of life for mankind. Dear God, tonight, may we rejoice in the representative who gave us our righteousness so we can spend eternity with you. God, may we leave here tonight with the answer for a world that's seeking. And we pray this, all these things, in His name. In the name of our representative, we pray. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, we're familiar with representatives. Our form of government is a representative form of government. You say, Brother Scheller, I don't think this is going to be a good illustration for Jesus. Well, you know what? You're right. Only 18% of Americans believe that their representatives are doing a good job in Congress. Only 18% of all of the people in the United States believe that their representatives are doing well. Well, I want to tell you, our United States representatives may not reflect all of the values and all of the beliefs that we have. We may be upset with our, 435 United States representatives and 100 senators. But I stand here to tell you tonight, there is one representative that knocked it out of the park. There is one representative that came to this earth and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Many people struggle with this idea that one man comes to this earth and he represents all of us. Well, it really begins in a doctrinal way in the book of Romans. And if you do have a copy of the scriptures with you, can I take you to the greatest verse on salvation in the entire Bible? Now, it's a difficult verse to actually understand, but it is the entire soteriology, the doctrine of salvation in one verse. And it has to do with representation. In Romans chapter 5, we have a lot of great verses. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And by the way, I want you all to help me tonight. I think everyone here, every man, woman, and child, probably know who that one man is. "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Everyone together. What's the name of that man? Everyone together.
Adam.
Adam was our representative. Now you say, you know what, Brother Shelley, I don't like this deal. I wanted to take a chance. Maybe I wouldn't have taken of the fruit. Well, let me just share this with you. At West Coast Baptist College, we have representatives that travel for the college. We have people that represent the college. We have tour groups that represent the college. And they're the cream of the crop. We want the best to represent us. Can I tell you, 6,000 years ago in that garden, God gave us the best representative we were ever going to get. My friend, if you would have put Shetler in the garden, I probably would have ate of the fruit before Adam had. And you know what? That's true with you as well. No, God gave us a good representative, but he failed. And because our representative failed, sin has been passed down to all mankind. Oh, that night, Roman tyranny was terrible. And oh, how those Jews, how those people in Israel, those Israelites so much desired to be freed from the tyranny of Rome. But there was another tyranny that all of us still experience. It's way worse than the Roman tyranny of 2,000 years ago. It's the tyranny of sin over every one of our lives because of our Adamic nature. Now, some of you may be upset with that. You say, hey, wait a second, this isn't a fair deal. One guy who I never met lived 6,000 years ago, and he takes a piece of a fruit that he shouldn't have taken, and we're all cursed because of it. Well, you could say that's a bad deal. But did you ever think of this? If we're all represented in one person's failure, then does it not make sense that we can all be saved? And that's what it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Now, I'm going to read the verse. And when I read the verse, you're going to go like, man, I'm not sure I understand this. Matter of fact, I'll start at verse 17. And I don't really care that you understand at all this very moment. But I want you to notice one word. And that one word is one. Look at verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Brother Scheller, I did not understand one word of that verse. That's all right. Wait till you get to verse 18. It's even more confusing. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Well, now notice the key word there is one. One man messes up. But 2,000 years ago, the second Adam came. The next representative of all of mankind was born in the house of bread. And 2,000 years ago, a little babe is going to live a perfect life. Never is this one going to think anything wrong, say anything wrong, or do anything wrong. And what Adam failed in a perfect environment, the second Adam succeeded in a cursed environment. Nothing did he do that was wrong. For he was not just a man. For God knew, man's not going to be able to do this. So I'm sending my son. My friend, that human boy that was born 2,000 years ago was also the eternal God. For it was going to be the only representative that was going to work for Jim Shuttler's sin. And the only representative that was going to work for you. Now, some of you say, Brother Shuttler, I'm not sure that I am understanding this whole representation thing. So I want to do something for just a moment. I have two chairs with me tonight. This chair, this lovely chair that comes from our front porch, we're going to call this Jim's chair. Jim's chair. Everyone together, whose chair is this? This is Jim's chair. And this beautiful, you know, I have college students that ask me, and they say, Brother Shuttler, how comfortable are those chairs? And I said, let me just tell you how comfortable those chairs are. If West Coast Baptist College did not have the greatest preaching every day in chapel, we would be all sleeping in these chairs. Let me tell you that right now. This is the most comfortable chair you will ever. Oh, man, this is comfortable. You can get one of these for me for Christmas if you'd like. This is a comfortable chair. We're going to call this Jesus' chair. Everyone together, whose chair is this?
Jesus.
Whose chair is that?
Jesus.
Now, let me tell you. Jesus' chair is in the throne room of heaven. Jesus' chair, by the way, the most important attribute of God is not his love. If you went to the throne room of God right now, the seraphims wouldn't be saying, love, 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 good, good, good. They'd be saying what? Holy, holy, holy. In the comfort of his own glory, for friend, he did not have to do this. Jesus did something 2,000 years ago. Jesus got up from his chair in heaven. And Jesus came down to this earth. Now, let me tell you about this chair here. This chair is not in good shape. Matter of fact, I know right now my wife is saying he is going to break this when he steps in. It is falling apart. But even as a 12-year-old boy in Kalamazoo, Michigan on November 8th, let me tell you something. I understood that I was falling apart. I was only 12 years old, but I knew I was a sinner. And this chair called Jim's chair is a is a chair of condemnation that could be judged any moment. I know, this will make your Christmas if this breaks. But I want to tell you what happened 2,000 years ago. In this chair of condemnation, in this chair of judgment, can I tell you what happened? Jesus got up from his chair. And he said, hey, Jim, come on over. I'm going to go and I'm going to sit in your chair. And friend, can I tell you, if by the sin of one man, Adam, sin passed upon all mankind, then can I tell you this? That by the righteousness of the second Adam, Jesus Christ, we can go to heaven. And let me tell you what we're celebrating tonight. We're celebrating tonight our representative succeeded. Now you say, Brother Shetler, that's a great little story. But how do you know that Christ succeeded in being our representative? Oh, I'll tell you, friend. Because 3 days after he died for my sin, my friend, he rose from the grave. And because he rose from the grave, I know that what he did was successful. If he's still in the tomb, then I'm still in this chair. But if he's out of the tomb, my friend, I'm going to get to go to heaven because my representative did a good job. Tonight is the birthday of our representative. Tonight we celebrate Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And listen, the world needs to know about the representative that came from this earth to this chair. Friend, I know I don't want to put a damper on anything tonight, but we've got to understand this. There are other religions, and I will tell you, those other religions don't have a God who is their representative. My friend, I tell you tonight, it is our faith in Jesus Christ that is what this world needs. Don't be ashamed. Don't back down. He was your representative. You be his representative now. Tell others what he has done, for there is no faith and there is no religion that has a God that came to die for the ones that he created. So tonight, we have a lot to celebrate. Don't worry about what's under the tree. My friend, celebrate what's in your heart and what Christ has done in your life. My friend, I would tell you this. If you have never put your faith in this representative, then I encourage you tonight, ask Jesus Christ to do for you that which you could not do for yourself.